Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
There, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. This is a forum for people who are interested in the relationship between their imagination, their intuition, their intention setting, and manifestation. So if any of those topics are of interest to you, you're definitely in the right place tonight. I do want to encourage you to share your pretty shiny picture with Inner Voice so that we can know that you're following the show and know that you're following with Insights Radio, who I do the show for. And that way you will get updates as to what's coming up in the future on With Insights and on Inner Voice Intuitive Hour. I do want to share with you real briefly some other projects that are going on. I'm pretty excited right now. I just started working with a great team of people, J.P. Jackson, Denise Divine D, and Muriel Exelaza, over in the Intuitive Light community, and we do a show on Sundays at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on all different types of topics. Recently, we've done stuff on the law of attraction. We've done stuff on, just recently Denise did a show on astrology and upcoming insights about astrology. So anyway, check out that show. That's a lot of fun, and it's a little bit of a different kind of a feeling to it, because there's four of us, and then we break it down and each do a show once a week and then get together as a group, the four of us. So it's a little bit more camaraderie and a little more back and forth. Then I also encourage you to check out Michael Mapes' radio show, the Intuitive Coaching Radio Show with Michael Mapes. I'm doing a show for Michael recently, just did a show on Thursday at 11 o'clock in the morning. I guess it wouldn't be 11 o'clock for everybody, but and that was on animal totems and working with animal totems and animal helpers in your life. I'll be doing another show for him this Thursday, and I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. So we'll have to see what spirit comes up with between now and then. And next week on Inner Voice Intuitive Hour, I will have Rick DiClemente coming back. Rick just wrote a wonderful book called The Exquisite Zodiac, and you should check out his YouTube videos as well. I believe that he is starting to air different sections of that book on YouTube and sharing them in that format as well. And he is coming back for my birthday. I'm really excited about this. I had him on the show about 2 months ago, and he said, well, we should do a birthday show. And when your birthday is, we should just have me on and I'll do a whole astrological workup on you. So we're going to do that on August 6th. But I'm just so excited to be his guinea pig, and what a gift. So that show will be a lot of fun. And now, with no further ado, I want to introduce our guest tonight, Gwen Montgomery. Gwen is an intuitive practitioner, and let me get to her website here. She has a company called Transformational Intuition, and I became aware of it, maybe about 2 months ago now, and I happened to get to listen to a video, a YouTube video with her, where she was sitting out on a picnic table in the park, and what she said just really, really touched me and moved me. I think often in the intuitive field, we don't pay attention to some of the things that the culture, some of the messages the culture, our family, and different kinds of groups of people kind of tell us about how we should be doing things that can kind of throw us off base in terms of our own intuitive journey. And she did such a good job of talking about those stressors and how to move beyond them and notice them and separate, you know, our own intuitive guidance from those messages that we're getting culturally. So that's what made me really intrigued with the work that she does. And I'm just really excited to have Gwen on tonight. Gwen, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Awesome.
And I'm very excited to be here.
Yay! Well, very, very cool. Well, I did want to just ask you, I always ask people who are on Inner Voice, you know, this is not your typical 9-to-5 career or vocation here. And I wanted to ask you how you started to get interested in connecting with intuition and the transformation that can happen when we connect with our intuition. What did that journey look like for you, Gwen?
Oh, it's a long one. It started, honestly, about a book about reading playing cards that I found in the library when I was 13 years old. And I was intrigued by it, and I thought it was so interesting. And so from that book, I learned how to read playing cards. And, of course, anytime you learn how to do readings, it opens up new ways of seeing yourself and the world. And it just kind of exploded from there into tarot and runes and various other oracles, and it just kind of got bigger and bigger and bigger over the years.
That is so awesome. I think that, you know, something like reading playing cards is kind of coming out of left field because it isn't your typical metaphysical way of connecting. So it tells me that, you know, that on an intuitive level that you're really, really prone to symbology and understanding the symbology and things. And so I just think that's so cool that you use that as a jumping off point to, you know, to clarify what your journey was about.
Yeah. Well, symbolism is huge for me. Absolutely huge for me. I'm constantly looking at the signs in everything. Everybody around me laughs and giggles at the signs until all of a sudden they start seeing them themselves, and then they start cussing me out because they blame me for making them see them.
Awesome. That's so, so cool. And I think that that's so amazing, you know, with these different modalities because they're all about understanding signs and symbols. And so, you know, I think that once we understand them in one way, we see them in everything, and we see patterns and relationships in everything. So I was really intrigued with the way that you do, is it called, let me get your website again. It's called a life path reading. Tell me about what it's like to work with you with a life path reading. It looks like you do that before you do any kind of coaching work with people. So how does that work, and how do you build on that?
The life path reading is a reading that I've developed. It's a fusion of numerology and tarot that I've developed over the last 20 years that I've been reading. And essentially what it is I take a person's full name and their birth date, and I do the basic numerology calculations. I get the life path number, which is based on their birth date, and the expression number, which is based on their name, and various other different numbers based on various parts of their name and their birth date and whatnot. But instead of looking at a 5 means this or a 6 means this, I then take those numbers and I look at them through the tarot. The 6 is the lovers. The 5 is the hierophant. And how does that, what does that say about the person? And then I put all of that into sort of a tarot spread and look at it intuitively, saying, okay, this is what this says about a person. For instance, if you're a 6, it's the lovers. Your life and making connections with other people and the relationships with other people. Whereas suppose you're a 1, you're a magician, you're all about your skills and you're all about show-offiness. And so all of these various different aspects that come with the name and the birth date and everything else, fused with the tarot, becomes this hugely wonderful in-depth reading that gets kind of amazing sometimes to see the insights that come with it, like, whoa, wow, that makes sense when you look at it. For instance, 9s are a huge number in my chart, in my life path chart. 9s show up all over the place. And, of course, in tarot, 9 is the hermit, the wise one, the light, the one who guides others.
Awesome.
The introvert who wants to save the world. So to see that, those connections and everything. And the life path reading is the starting off point of my coaching because we can't really transform our lives. We can't really change our lives until we know ourselves.
Absolutely.
And know who we are and what we want.
I really appreciate too, you know, I think sometimes in this vocation, people suggest that, you know, if we haven't fixed ourselves 100%, we have no business doing this sort of work. And I just really, really appreciate the vulnerability with which you share your own journey and, you know, your own trials and how transparent you are in that process. And I just think that's really, really great, because I think it's a misnomer that we have to have everything figured out about our own life in order to help, you know, guide or witness other people's journey and hold space for them.
That's so true. I used to think that. I used to think, how can I help anyone? How can I guide anyone? My life is a mess. I'm a mess. I don't have it all figured out. I have so much I have to figure out and fix in my life. How can I help anyone else? And then someone said to me, and I can't remember where I first heard this, but someone said to me, you just have to be one step ahead. If you are one step ahead, you have something to offer someone. You have something to teach someone. You just have to be one step ahead. And that was profound the moment that I realized that yeah, I might not have it all together. Things might not be perfect for me, but I'm one step ahead of someone, and that someone could use my help to get to where I am. And then in that process of being one step ahead of someone and helping them get to where I am, it pushes me one step ahead of where I am now.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I think that's like such an amazing thing too. It's how much, you know, you can learn from your clients about your own journey, you know, and holding the space for that to happen, you know, that there's this alchemical, magical thing that happens, and that the people who walk through the door and who become our clients have something for us. You know, it's important for us to hold the space in a certain way and have boundaries and that sort of thing. But they have something for us. They have a gift for us that helps us grow in a different way, too. Have you noticed that and seen that in your own work?
Yeah, I really have. I learn something from every person that I work with, every single one. And I find this odd synchronicity when I'm doing readings. I will get clusters and groups of people who all come to me with the same sort of themes, and those themes all have some sort of relevance to what's going on in my life at the moment.
Absolutely. That's
so
awesome.
Always. I'm teaching them something, but more often than not, they're teaching me more than I've even taught them.
I think also a lot of times, you know, your clients help set the trajectory for what it is you're meant to do next, you know. So, you have to explore something in order to be able to help your client with it. And so it stretches you, you know.
Yeah. Definitely.
Very cool. So
For instance, lately I've had more and more people wanting fairy readings, and I've been getting more and more messages indicating to take my business in that direction, because what other people need is guiding me where I have to go. Not what I need, but what others need from me.
And when you say fairy readings, talk about that and what that entails and how that differs from other readings.
A few years ago, I came across this deck called The Fairy's Oracle by Brian Froud. And he is this amazing fairy artist. He's done the book Good Fairies, Bad Fairies. And he's also done several movies, the movie Labyrinth and the movie The Dark Crystal. He was the conceptual designer for those movies. And he's this amazing painter that almost, when you look at his paintings, it's like he used light to paint them. They're so brilliant and so wonderful. And he's created two oracle decks. One is the Fairy's Oracle, and the other is the Heart of Fairy Oracle. And I've worked with tarot for years, and I've worked with various other oracle decks. I have this bookshelf that has literally shelves and shelves of various different decks. And when I read tarot, there's your basic book meanings. And, of course, my intuition takes off from there. But when I do a fairy reading, there's something completely different about it. It's almost as if the fairies are talking to me and I'm channeling their messages to someone else. They're not the book meanings. It's the, oh, hey, look, I have something to say to you and I'm going to say it sort of thing.
That's awesome. And I think they can get going.
Well, they can be absolutely delightfully fun and seem to barely make sense at all, or they can be absolutely completely serious. For instance, today I did a reading, a fairy message reading, and I sent it along to the person I was doing it from, and she immediately messaged me back, and she was just in shock and awe because I knew nothing about her, and I knew nothing about her life and what was going on in her life, but the messages that came through were so absolutely spot on for what she's going through that she said she was in tears because of it. And she hadn't had that kind of an experience with a reader in many, many years.
Awesome. How wonderful. How cool to get that kind of validation.
Yes, definitely.
And to help her, too, you know. I think, too, sometimes, like with tarot and stuff, you can get caught up in what the card is supposed to mean, and there's this thing that can happen when you trust and have faith in fairies or animal totems or whatever your modality is that, you know, is more about connecting with spirit and channeling and setting aside what the traditional meanings of the cards are about and really allowing the universe to speak in a different way to you. So I think that's awesome that, you know, you're using that to tap in like that.
Yeah.
And yeah,
fairy reading has really become my favorite method of reading over the years.
Very cool. Very cool. And is it just pretty much like a channeled reading, Gwen, or is it like the cards mean a certain thing? Tell me more about it.
Well, technically the cards do mean a certain thing, but I have not memorized the meaning. I have found them. I will tell people these are my most chattery decks because as soon as I lay out the cards, it's like my head explodes with words and phrases and activity. And it's not my voice, if that makes any sense at all. Everything else, it's the fairies telling me and the digging through because, for instance, the spread that I use that I'm working on with right now is called the Fairy Star, and it uses 8 cards, which means there can be a minimum of 8 fairies if each card only has 1 fairy in it, but most of the cards have more than one, so there can be dozens and dozens of voices popping into my head and wanting to say something and wanting to get the message across. And so then it's sorting through that and coming through it. And so it's a very awe-inspiring process when I get this all down and I get it all out and the client just looks at me or they send a message back to me and they're just shocked because it's just so amazingly and insightful and spot on for them. And I just sometimes sit there and think, wow, because when I first started reading, I thought there's no way I could be right about this. There's no way I could know this. And over the years, I've learned to trust that process that even if it doesn't make sense to me, it doesn't matter because it's not for me. It's for them.
Yeah, I think that is so important. I think that you know, it's easy as an early reader to get caught up in, like, you know, how much validation you're getting or what, how much, you know, you can get caught up in psychologizing or being in that place of the psychologizing of the archetypes or that sort of thing. But honestly, the most powerful thing to do when you're reading is just to empty yourself and allow yourself to be used as a vessel. And it sounds like that's really what you're doing, you know.
Yes, it is.
Awesome, awesome. So cool. So let me go back to your website and ask you a few more questions because you offer so many things. Tell me about Create Your Own Oracle.
That is a course that I am developing. I am a think outside of the box kind of person, and I'm also a my mind is constantly making connections between so many different things. And probably about 6 or 7 years ago, I made my own oracle system that I call the Element Oracle. And it uses cards and stones, and it is literally just the elements. It has 16 stones, 4 red, 4 blue, 4 yellow, 4 green to represent each of the elements, earth, air, fire, and water. And the cards are the same. And so it can be read in multiple ways. The cards are square, and I can lay them out in a grid, 4x4 grid, or I can take the stones and I can toss them out in sort of a cast, much like I do if I was reading runes, and just look at the patterns and the balance that is elementally there for a person. And if there's too much concentration of the elements in one particular area, it can mean one thing, or if there's too little elements in another area, it can mean another thing, and just looking at the balance like that. And then a couple of years after I developed that and was doing readings very successfully with it, I came up with what I call astro stones. And what they are is just little glass beads with the astrological signs and planets etched onto them. And then I crocheted this cloth that's the 12 houses of the astrological chart. And you toss the stones out onto it. And then you'd interpret it and read it much as if you were reading a calculated astrology chart, except that it's completely randomized by the throw of the stones.
Wow.
And I got very insightful and quirky, amazing readings with that. And so recently, over the last few months, I thought, well, if I can create these fun, useful, and very accurate oracles, and of course, new tarot decks and new oracle decks are published every day. People all over are creating their own. Why can't everybody else? Why don't I teach them the process to create their own? Because symbolism is very, very personal. What means something to me might not mean anything at all to somebody else. My symbols are going to be different from your symbols. So I want to teach people to create their own very personalized oracle that, because it's something they've created, because it's their own symbolism, they can connect to it in a much deeper way than they could something they bought in the store.
That's awesome. That's wonderful. Yeah, I think it's so, what you're saying is so relevant. The idea that everybody's symbol system and what means something to someone is so subjective and so, so very unique. And I mean, I think that what you're doing when you're helping people create their own oracles is you're helping them tap into their own symbol system. And that is some powerful stuff. You know, they'll have that forever, you know.
Yes.
Awesome. Very, very cool. Well, someone in the chat room is asking if you are doing mini readings. So would you like to do that?
Yes, I would love to.
All right. Awesome. Very cool. Let me see. Anybody out there who would like a mini reading, if you can just punch the number 1 on your punch pad, that way we'll know that you're in the queue and your little red microphone will light up and we'll know to put you on to get a reading. So hopefully some people will pick us up on that, and very, very cool. But I think that's wonderful. I mean, I think too often, you know, there's a tendency to sometimes, you know, to be in the place where there's a hierarchy in terms of the reading, and someone comes in and they're in the position where they believe that this person who is giving them the reading has this magical ability. And I just really, really think it's great that you're connecting them with their own magical ability, you know, because we all have it.
Oh, yes, definitely. I had posted recently on Facebook that I don't feel any different when I'm giving readings. I don't feel psychic. I don't feel all mystical woo-woo. It's just there. It just is, and it's always been like that. And I don't think there has to be anything super special feeling about it. Everybody's got it in them. Everybody can learn it. The problem is that they expect to fit into the same kind of system that everybody else does. They'll pick up a beginner tarot deck and a beginner tarot book, and they can't make sense of it at all And so they figure, well, it must not be in me. It must not be for me. I must not be able to do it, without realizing that there's so many other systems out there, or they could just create their own.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's so true. And I think a lot of times people get stymied by, you know, they end up staying up in their own head and focusing on the symbolism and trying to remember all of the details instead of starting to listen to their own symbol system and say, well, to me, red means this, and I feel this when I pick up this card, and starting to make their own connections with spirit. So I just think that's wonderful that you encourage that process, because, you know, I think that that's kind of the dividing line sometimes between a reader who will kind of create this dynamic where, you know, they hold a lot of power, and then a lot of times people will come and they feel like, you know, they have to get a reading from them in order to understand what they have to tell them. And it sounds to me like you're really empowering them to go out and tell their own story in a better way.
Yes, definitely. One thing that frustrated me for a very long time as a reader was people's inability to see their own strength and their desire to rely on someone else to change their life, because that's how society has set things up, is that people are taught you can't do it on your own. You have to have an authority figure to do it for you. Well, forget that. Be your own authority.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's so cool, too, you know, that you're tapping into this whole idea that they can become empowered themselves. And I think, too, you know, this is what I was going to say. I think, too, it's really cool that you figured out that you're not just a reader, but you're a coach as well, because that's the difference, you know, where you can start to do coaching and offer coaching to help inspire other people, you know, that you went, oh, well, I'm not just supposed to read for people. I'm also supposed to help them on their own journey.
Well, yeah, that, and a lot of that came from my own personal experiences with reading for myself, that the transformation doesn't stop with the reading. You get the reading, and then what do you do with it after that? And that's where my coaching practice has developed from, is that you get this reading, and then if you like it, you work to make it happen, and if you don't like it, you work to change it. And so that's where I've begun to develop the coaching practice, is to move beyond the reading, because I had to do that myself. I had to move beyond the readings and actually implement what I was seeing in the cards, implement the messages that I was getting. But it's not always easy to do that by yourself. I really wish, through a lot of the things that I've gone through, that I could have had someone just to bounce ideas off of, someone to cheer me on and say, yeah, you can do it, and to give me new ideas and ways to tap.
Awesome. That's awesome. Very, very cool. So if someone comes to you and they want to create their own oracle, how do they go through that process? How would you sit with someone and walk them through that process of creating their own oracle and creating their own, you know, connection to spirit? How do you notice what it is that really, really draws them?
First, it's a matter of looking inside themselves and also outside of themselves and seeing what kind of person they are. Are they a tactile person? Do they like to touch things, or do they like to see things, or do they like to hear things? What kind of a learner are they? What messages, what really gets inside their head the most? And then saying, okay, you're a very visual person. Art moves you. So let's grab a ton of magazines, cut out some pictures, and collage them onto index cards and make your own deck. Or if they're a very tactile person, they like to touch things, then, okay, let's create some symbols and draw them on little glass stones, and then you can touch them and feel them and toss them out there and see the patterns that connect in that way. And really it's just about getting to know yourself and getting to know how your mind makes the connections with things. Because of course, some people are very visual. Some people are very much, they see the symbolism in art, and other people are all about words and the connections between words, and so they can create an oracle that way. I'm actually currently working on a new oracle. I don't really have a name for it yet, except that I'm thinking of calling it the Oracle of Virtue and Vice, because it takes the classical virtues, and of course they're opposites, the vice, and I'm putting them on hexagram-shaped cards, and then they're going to connect in different ways, and the different ways they connect are going to kind of give the reading. And different people make those connections in different ways. As I said, some people are about words and writing and reading, and other people are about pictures, and other people are about sound. And so when it comes to creating your own oracle, we first figure out what's going to work for you. Are you a card person? Are you a stone person? What about sticks or dice or pendulums or any number of other creative ways that we can do that? And then once we figured out what the medium of the oracle is going to be, then we sit there and we figure out, okay, what's your symbolism? What symbols do you want on there? Is it going to be something mystical, for like astrological symbols, or is it going to be something pretty basic and day-to-day like road signs?
That's awesome.
So it becomes something very, very personal.
I think, too, you know, one of the things that's powerful about what you're doing is you're helping people to play. You know, we're not a culture that teaches people or lets people play. You know what I'm saying? And really powerful play, when little kids do it in a powerful way, it's so magical, you know, to see how they make connections and how they create things. And I think, you know, that that's kind of what you're getting at there, is really allowing people to play in the ways that inspire them and connect them to spirit.
Yes, I'm all about play and laughing and having fun. I'm the kind of person who will randomly dance in the middle of the store as my husband sits there and shakes his head and says, oh, she's at it again.
Awesome, awesome. So cool. So what did the trajectory of your business look like? When did you start to actually do readings, and how did it develop, and how did it expand, and what did that look like for you?
It's been an up and down, off and on process over the years. As I had said at the beginning, I started reading playing cards when I was 13 years old, over 20 years ago now. And when I was in my early 20s, I met a local shop owner, and I'd been doing tarot readings for a while, and I'd also been doing rune readings for a while. And we were at this little gathering where everybody was doing free readings for everybody else, and she sat down with me and she wanted a rune reading because she'd never had one before. Not many people read runes, of course. They're sort of the ugly stepsister of the tarot. And so I did the rune reading. And the way I read runes is a method that I developed myself based on the fact that all of the rune literature from ancient times talks of them casting the runes. They throw them out. They don't put them in spreads like all the rune books teach us to today. They literally tossed them and read them how they lie. And so that's what I do. I cast them out onto a cloth that I divided into quarters to represent the different areas of our lives. And if they fall face down, they get pulled off. It means they didn't have a message for you at that time. But whatever lays face up and where they lie and how they're connected, that's how the reading goes. So I'm doing this reading for this shop owner, and she's just looking at them, and all she sees is little stick figure runic alphabet on these little stones, and it doesn't really make any connections for her because she's always read tarot and the pictures and the instant messages that come from tarot, which are wonderful. I love the tarot. I have many decks and I read the tarot. So she didn't understand how I was getting what I was getting from these little single letter runes. And I just was able to tell her about everything that was going on in her life, and she was just in awe. And at that point, she asked me if I'd ever considered doing it professionally. And I thought, well, no, why would I do that? This is just something I do. And after several visits to her shop, she finally convinced me to just do one day a week. One day a week, come
Very
into the
cool.
shop and do readings for people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I did. I started one day a week doing readings, and it kind of built up from there. I did rune readings and tarot readings and oracle readings, and then I started getting people wanting me to come do parties. And so I did parties, and I did some workshops, and I did that for a couple of years. And I had one year that was just amazingly, wonderfully successful for me, but I got burned out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was doing so much, and I had so much going on in my personal life. I was married to my first husband at the time, and that marriage was breaking down, and I had so many other things going that I literally just got burned out. So I quit. I quit completely for several
wow.
years. And I did personal readings. I did some readings for close friends, but nothing beyond that. I didn't do any professional readings. I didn't do any readings for people that I didn't know. Mostly it was just myself and close friends. Well, one thing I found with the universe is that if you are meant to be doing something, you are going to be doing it whether you want to or not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I kept getting pulled further and further back into it. And so over the last several months, I have finally said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And I decided to start rebuilding my business and reconnecting. And now I'm here building my site and getting that out there. I'm doing a fair on Saturday, the first fair that I have done in many, many years. And it's just kind of happening all so quickly and all so amazingly that I know this is what I'm supposed to do, but it's still kind of scary how quickly everything's happening.
Awesome. And how did you transition? Because I think a lot of people who go from being more of a traditional tarot reader or rune reader or more of a predictive kind of a reader, how did you transition to start to do the coaching and start to take on coaching clients? Was that difficult for you to imagine those two things together? Or how did you know someone was ready for that? Was that a process you went through in yourself? Or how did you cross that bridge?
It was really a process that I went through myself. Mm-hmm. It was more of a natural evolution of that. The way my mind works, I see the connections in everything. I see signs mm-hmm. everywhere, and I see the depth in everything. And so it just kind of made sense to me when I was developing the life path reading many years ago that why leave it at just this life path reading that can tell a person all about themselves, all about their personality, all about their passions, all about what they love and hate about life and where they want to go in life and where life is leading them. Why leave it as just a reading on paper? Why not help them make it happen?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it just sort of evolved from there, particularly with my own. I am now in my second marriage, and one of the things that I do in the life path reading is I look not just at the birth name, but I look at any name changes and see what kind mm-hmm. of energies those name changes bring into the life. And shortly after I got married, of course, I updated my life path reading with my new married name, and it just sort of clicked. Like, oh, I'm finally who I'm supposed to be. And I realized at that point that this is just a journey, and if we don't do something with that journey, all it is a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided
mm-hmm.
I was going to not just do these readings for people, but offer them the opportunity to figure out how to do something with it.
Awesome, awesome. That's wonderful. That's really inspiring. You know, I think that it is easy for a reader to, you know, read someone accurately and that sort of thing. But it's different to start to help them change their own life and help them connect with what's magical in themselves and just to, you know, to hold that space for them. I mean, that's a really different focus for a reader to have. And for it sounds like you're more of an intuitive guide in many ways, you know, as well as being a reader.
Yes. Actually, I do call myself an intuitive guide. It's that hermit in me, that holding the light so that other people can see the path. I'm not making them go down any particular path. I'm just holding the light up so that they can make the best choices.
Awesome. I think, you know, in my own work, I've been really influenced by Jung and archetypes and the hero's journey and the different definitions of the hero's journey and this sort of thing. And I think that you're really talking on some level about archetypal patterns, and the way people's journeys unfold has to do with the archetypes that really, really trigger them or inspire them or enliven them, and that's in some ways what you're getting at.
Yes, it is very much similar to Jung's archetypes. And I've also been inspired by Carolyn Miss's work.
Awesome.
She has a book that the name of it has slipped my mind right now, but she has done a lot of work with archetypes and realizing the archetypes that are active in our lives at any given moment. And that's really what the life path reading is looking at the archetypes that have been put into place, put into motion at the moment that we were born and named, and seeing how they can fit into our lives and how we're living them out, if we're living them out in a positive way or are we living them out in a negative way. Because there are certainly positive ways to be a hermit, and there are definitely some negative ways to be a hermit.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some points in my life where I was very much negatively living the hermit, spending many hours a day all by myself because I just got overwhelmed with people.
And I think there, to a certain extent, you're talking a little bit about the idea of complexes, you know, that when we're pulled by a certain kind of a story that might not be the story that the healthiest way for us to tell the story, the most inspiring, proactive way for us to tell the story, it's because we're pulled to a certain archetypal configuration, you know, a certain complex, and that then maybe you can guide people to understand a more evolved way to deal with that archetype or that symbology in themselves.
Yes.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, we've covered a lot of ground that I want to make sure that you're able to share anything that you want to share. I have said to folks, you know, if you want to call in for a short mini reading, you absolutely can do that, but you do have to press that number 1 on your keypad so that I know that you want a reading. So hopefully some people will make the choice to do that. And what else do you want to talk about your journey and about what it's looked like and about the work you're doing or maybe the projects that you're doing now? Where do you want to go?
I've always got tons of projects. My mind will not stop turning out project ideas. I have notebooks full of project ideas. I'm, of course, excited about the Create Your Own Oracle class that I'm putting together. And my hope for that is that's going to be a group class that people can learn from me as well as from each other, because there's something powerful about a group. A group of 9 or 10 people becomes amazing, and the energy just gets so exciting, and the ideas that we can bounce off of each other are so exciting.
Absolutely.
So I'm putting together the Create Your Own Oracle class, and I'm also putting together a goal coaching program soon to help people achieve those kinds of goals that everyone says, oh, no, you can't do that, and it's called Why the F Not? Because, well, why can't I do that? And it's all about tackling those objections that other people have and that we have within ourselves. And, again, that's going to be a group coaching program so that we can all work together and come up with creative ways to overcome our own objections and the objections of others to achieving our goals. Because, well, why the F not?
Right.
So those are my 2 big projects right now, are those 2 group programs.
Very cool. I was typing because it seems like people are having trouble with figuring out how to get in the queue. So 719 would like a mini reading, and I'm going to try and get them on right now. And hopefully this will work, so cross your fingers. Hi, I'm here with Inner Voice Intuitive Hour. Who is this?
Hi, my name is Julia.
Hi, Julia. How are you doing this evening?
Doing great, thank you. How are you?
Good. Would you like a mini reading?
Yes, please. I'd love one.
Awesome.
Hi, Julia. How are you today?
Hello. Doing really well. How are you?
I am good. Was there anything in particular that you wanted a mini reading on?
Well, do you prefer a question, or do you want to just see what comes up? Or
I really like to see what comes up, but I know some people sometimes have questions. I've grabbed one of my fairy decks. It's called The Fairy's Oracle. It's by Brian Froud. It's my absolute favorite deck to work with of all time. This is the fourth deck of this same one that I've had to buy because I use them so much that the cards get worn out, and so I have to keep buying new ones.
I really like them. Okay, I'm great with
them. Oh, yes, I really, really like them. Let me just get them shuffled here. And the way that I do fairy readings is it's very much more of a channeled message. They don't always make sense to me. They can be anything from whimsical to absolutely completely serious. So hopefully it makes more sense to you than it does to me. Usually that's what I find out, is that I have no idea what's going on. But as soon as what's said is said, it makes sense to the person that the message is meant for.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm open to that.
And I always get this shivery little giggle whenever I pull this deck out because it seems like the fairies are so excited that somebody's coming to play with them.
They're like, yay, she's coming to play.
Yes. Yes. I pulled three cards for you. And all I see is light. And I mean light and light and light. I have the Fawn, Nellis the Alchemist, and Ecstasis. And again, it is light, 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 and dance, and happiness, and joy, and giggles, and giddiness. And the message that I'm getting is you've been too tense. You need to cut loose and get fancy free.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, you know how it is. Life gets in the way of the fun.
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. I understand that. I completely understand that. Nellis the Alchemist is, she is such a powerful, powerful card. She speaks of our own power, that the power to change everything is within us. And that's what her message for you is that everything is in your hands. You can do this. You can do what you've set your mind to. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. You can do it. No matter what anybody else has said, no matter what you tell yourself, you can do it. And so this is the message that the fairies have for you today, that it's okay. Breathe. It's going to be fine. And have some fun, because without the fun, without the joy, without the light, there's not really any point of it all.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's right on for me, because I've got a huge life decision to make, and knowing that everything's going to be okay is really what I need to hear. So, yeah. Yep. That's it. That's
okay.
That definitely worked for me. Well, thank you so much. That was wonderful, and I'll definitely listen to the archive again just so I can make sure I get the whole message. So,
you are
thank
very
you so
welcome.
Much, and have a really great evening.
Have a great night, Julia.
You too.
Thanks.
Awesome, awesome. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into the chat room and I'm going to ask if anybody else wants a reading, because for some reason these little microphones are not lighting up. So maybe I can get someone to share their area code and we can do it that way. So I'm going to put that in the chat room right now.
I've had nothing but technical difficulties the last few weeks.
With
the screen on my laptop shattered.
Blog Talk's been difficult too lately, like with just even getting guests on and things. So it goes, it seems to go through trials and tribulations, you know, periodically.
Oh, yes. Several years ago, I ran a blog called Fat Girl Gets Fit, and it was a fitness blog, and along with it, I did a show called Fat Girl Gets Fit. So I know all about Blog Talk Radio's ups and downs.
It's kind of 50% one, half dozen of the other, if anybody will be able to get on. But yes, but it's good when it works. So I have put in the chat room now that does anyone else want a mini reading? So it's out there, so hopefully not then when people will. And while I was doing that, I was writing back and forth. So I wanted to ask you a little bit more about those two programs, and I honestly wasn't able to listen as well because I was typing. So what were the two new programs that you're doing right now? Talk about a little bit more about them.
The Create Your Own Oracle, of course. Mm-hmm. The Create Your Own Oracle is going to be the group. It's going to be a group course. It's going to be either 6 or 12 weeks. I'm still working out the course outline and everything, and that's really going to be about digging in and figuring out what kind of oracle do you want to have, what kind of symbols do you want to have on it, all the way through to, well, what if you want to get this published and mass-produced? How do you do that? Because there are some resources out there a lot of people don't know about. For instance, a few years ago, I found a game company. They're a company that lets you design your own board games, but they also have the ability to print tarot decks and other types of decks. You can specify how many cards. They have different options for size and shape. It was through them that I got the idea to do a hexagon-shaped oracle. And so that class is going to take people all the way from conception all the way through implementation. So if they want to use it, the oracle just for themselves or just for other people, how to develop readings from their own oracle, because what good does an oracle do if we can't read with it? How to decide how they're going to read with it, how to create spreads for it if it's a spread-based system, just how to use it for themselves, how to use it for others, and how to use an oracle in ways other than just readings, because, of course, there's many more ways to use a deck of tarot cards than just to give readings. There's many more ways to use runes than just to give readings. So that's what that class is going to be about, is really just digging in and making something that's so completely your own you can't help but want to use it every day.
We do have
The other program.
Would you rather give a reading, or would you rather talk about your other program? Because we've got 7 more minutes, and I want to make sure this person gets a reading. So I apologize for.
I would love to have a reading.
Cool beans. All right, here we go. Hi, you're on the air with Inner Voice Intuitive Hour. Who is this?
Hello,
what's your name?
My name's Allison.
Okay, hi Allison. Would you like a mini reading?
Yes, I would. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sure thing.
Hi Allison, I'm Gwen.
Hi Gwen.
For your reading, I'm going to use the Heart of Fairy Oracle, which is actually the companion deck to the Fairies Oracle. This is actually a newer addition to my repertoire. It just came out just a couple of years ago. And again, it's by my absolute favorite artist in the world. And I had a delightful moment with this deck the other day. I'd given myself a reading and I looked down at one of the cards. And I grabbed the card and I had to run downstairs. I live with my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law and my husband. And they're my sister-in-law's daughter. And this card had a picture of a little child that looked exactly like her daughter. And I had to run down and share it with everybody because it was just one of those awe-inspiring moments that made me fall in love with this deck even that much more. So let's see what message this deck has for you, what the message the fairies have for you today. And the three cards that you have gotten are the Pan, the Queen of the Golden Bough, and the Green Man. Now, when we think of the Pan, this card, think Peter Pan. Think that joyous childishness, that I'm never going to grow up because you've been a little too grown up lately.
Mm-hmm.
And the Queen of the Golden Bough, she sits here all serious watching her subjects. And again, there's that grown up feeling, that serious things are going on, feelings going on here with these cards right now, that things have been so very serious for you lately, and it's time to just breathe in and breathe out, and realize that not everything always has to be so serious. And the Green Man was the third card, and the Green Man says, go outside. Just go outside and play. Just go outside and enjoy the time. Go outside and enjoy nature. Go outside and enjoy yourself. Because, yes, sometimes we have to be serious. We have to be grown-ups. But just with Pan, just with Peter Pan, we also have to be a child. And that's the message that the fairies have for you today, that while things are very serious right now, to break the tension, laugh and play and be a child for a while.
Hmm. Well, if only it were that easy.
No, it's not always easy. It's not always easy to get away from the serious. I know that so completely, very, very, very much.
Yeah, I'm out of work, and there's some very heavy. It's just very heavy things in my life happening right now. So I don't think play is going to be happening anytime very, very soon.
Play, that's when play is super duper important, actually, is when big heavy things are going on in your life. If you can just allow yourself to let go of all of that heavier energy, it can sometimes shift something in you, and it's about allowing yourself to do that. It doesn't make everything go away, but it does alleviate something for a while, and it does allow you to connect with a different energy.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, thank you.
Okay, have a great evening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We just have a very few more minutes left, but I want to make sure people know how to get a hold of you, Gwen, for your wonderful work.
They can contact me through my website, transformationalintuition.com, and I am also on Facebook at facebook.com/transformationalintuition. I'm on Facebook all the time, so if they want to connect to me through there or through my website, they can do either one.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing all your wisdom and insight, all your great ideas, and I hope people get a hold of you for your work.
I hope so, too. Thank you very much for having me on, and it was very wonderful.
Absolutely. Take good care, Gwen.
You, too.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
That was Gwen Montgomery with Transformational Intuition. Check her out on Facebook on her Transformational Intuition at Transformational Intuition page, and check out her website. She's doing some wonderful, wonderful work. With oracles and tarot and all sorts of stuff. So thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice in just this hour of this evening. I'm going to take you out with Star Williams, The Blessed. Whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic, inspire magic, create magic, connect with magic, get close to magic, find magic in your own life. Because that's what we're here for, and that's how to shift the balance. Take good care, everybody. Bye now.